Lord Jesus Christ this glorious morning as we look into your word. We thank you that the word we are about to share is not the idea of any man. You moved upon the men that wrote the scriptures by your spirit, so that they could write expressly as your Holy Spirit moved them. Thank you, therefore, that we are sharing your word. We are sharing life. We are sharing truth this morning. And we pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the highest of our understanding, being enlightened, that we may clearly see the hope unto which you have called us as Christians, and understand fully all the privileges that we have as your people, and the power that is available to us to live victoriously day by day. Thank you for inspiring faith in us all as we hear your word this morning. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 6. Now begin to read from verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Let's pause a minute before we go on to the next verse, which we are going to focus on a little bit this morning before we go to some other passages of scripture. Now, see here in verse 11, God encouraging every one of us, not just some of us. You see, God is no respecter of persons. What he demands of you is the same thing he will demand of me. Every Christian, every child of God has been called to walk in exactly the same way as God himself. Bible says in another place that we should be followers or imitators of God as their children. In other words, we should walk in the same example of Christ who came to show us the way of our Father who is in heaven. Because Jesus came to this earth to reveal God to us and to show us how to please God the Father through obedience to him. Now, it says again there that every one of us should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Full assurance of hope. There is no room for doubting. If we call ourselves Christians, then we should be a people that have assurance of hope and assurance of faith. And if we are going to walk in this kind of assurance, we need to do so by the word of God. Nothing else is going to assure you or me other than the word of God. Because if we lean on our own human understanding, or if we listen to what people are saying in the world, we cannot be sure. None of us can be sure leaning on our human understanding, because our knowledge is in part. And that's why, as Christians, there is a tendency for us to doubt when we try to look at our situation based on our human reasoning. Every one of us. It doesn't matter how spiritual we become, because the human mind is in a fallen state. When the serpent went into the Garden of Eden and corrupted the mind of man, you know, getting Eve deceived and getting Adam to disobey God, all of mankind was corrupted from that point onwards. Because Bible says we were in the loins of Adam. That's why David said it was shapen in iniquity. And thank God now we have a new birth in Christ Jesus. So the old nature that was condemned in Adam has been removed spiritually. But then the soul is awaiting full redemption that Jesus purchased. That's why we are growing gradually. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Bible says we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And then our body is still weak because it's in a fallen state. We need to offer it unto God as a living sacrifice. But in the spirit, we are already made perfect. Instantaneously, when we confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, the whole spirit was removed and a new spirit was put in us. But because of the gradual transformation process that the soul is still going through, we are not all at the same level of maturity in terms of development of that strength and way of God in our lives, which we have in the spirit. And it has nothing to do with how long we have been Christians or how short we've been Christians, but everything to do with how diligent we are in studying the word of God and choosing to obey it. That's why it says here, we should be diligent. We should show that diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Not having hope today and then doubting tomorrow. If you step out in hope today, keep going in that way of hope until you get the victory. That's what it's saying there. There is no room for double-mindedness for us as Christians. In fact, if you read again, remember in James chapter 1, if you read from verse 5 down to about verse 7, where Bible says if we lack wisdom, we should ask of God. Then it goes on to say, but we have to ask in faith without any doubt. Because once we doubt or get double-minded, we are unstable in all our ways and we cannot receive anything from God. God demands that we have full assurance of hope and full assurance of faith if we are going to receive anything from Him. And this morning, healing is available for us all. Blessings are available for us all because Jesus is in our midst. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in the midst of them. Everywhere Jesus is, there is the provision of God because He brought that for humanity to enjoy. So no matter what your need may be this morning, no matter what my need may be this morning, the provision is right here in our midst. And for those of you who are at home, the provision is right there with you. Because you are linking up with us in the spirit, we are of one accord. And we can share the blessings together because there is no distance in the realm of the spirit. He's omnipresent. His ear is with you right where you are because you have one heart with us, connecting with us through the medium of technology. And so what we all need to do in order to enjoy what God wants us to have in our lives is what we are looking at this morning. And by His grace, we'll be able to understand it clearly. But again, we see that we have to step out in hope, step out in faith, and keep going until the end. Keep going until the end. So say to yourself, I must step out in hope and step out in faith and keep going until the end in order to receive every help and every blessing that I need from God. Amen. So the same rule for every one of us. God is no respecter of persons. Even standing here preaching this morning does not mean that God is going to favor me. No. If I don't go by the same rule, I may preach unto you, you receive the word of God, live by it, and get blessed. But then, if I don't live by that same word that I've preached, I can't get the blessing from God. God is no respecter of persons. It's the same standard. It's the same standard. In fact, for a preacher, there is more demand. Because Bible says, to whom much is given, much more is expected. For me to preach and tell you, well, you need to step out in hope, step out in faith, and keep going on to the end. And then in my own life, I step out in hope and quit tomorrow. That's going to really grieve the Holy Spirit. It's better for me not to preach it than for me to preach it and not to live by it. To whom much is given, much more is expected. So God is no respecter of persons. The same rule goes for everybody. Hallelujah. So we have to understand this simple truth, this foundational truth about our Christian faith, and choose to walk in that way. Let's forget about our own human understanding, and let's forget about what people may say or what people may think. You are not living your life to please any human being. You are living your life to please God. Many times when you choose to walk in the ways of God, people will mock you because they can't understand that way. And the devil is going to use them to try to discourage you from walking in the ways of God. You have to set your heart on God to say, well, I don't care what people may say. I don't even care how I feel myself. What matters to me is what God says. I'm just going to do the word of God. Someone says, well, but that's taking too much risk. Well, it's better for me to take that kind of risk and die in faith than to be found wanting when I go back to meet my Maker. I have to live my life to please Him, so that when I go back to Him, no regrets. Hallelujah. No regrets. So we have to listen to what the Word says and choose to do what the Word says. That's why we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us, and the grace of God is available to help us in our own weaknesses. So we must have that full assurance. Full assurance means no room for doubt. No room for doubt at all. And that's why we just have to take the word of God for it. Forget about whether we feel like it or we see it like that in our own human understanding. Forget about all that. All that matters is what God says, and our hope is based in that word, and that gives foundation to our faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, and we keep walking that way until the very end. Now look at verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience do what? They inherit the promises. Faith and patience. Not faith alone. Faith and patience. That's why it says in verse 11, we have to have that full assurance of hope unto the end. If you are going to last the whole journey unto the victorious end, you need to be patient. You cannot wake up one day and start your journey here in Streatham. If you want to maybe walk to France, you know, in those olden days, they will walk many days to get to where they were going. There was no aeroplane to fly you quickly to where you are. The best you could do is get on a donkey. And it will take you a long time to get to where you are going. But you keep going patiently. You keep going patiently until you get there. You are not going to just get up in straight time and boom. See yourself in France the next day. Or the next moment. Unless the Holy Spirit takes you like it did unto Stephen, unto Philip in the book of Acts. Remember? After he spoke to that Ethiopian eunuch, Bible says the Holy Spirit just took him and was taking him to several cities to preach the gospel. Unless that happens, you are going to have to keep going one step at a time. One step at a time. Well, I'm headed for France. I'm starting off in Streatham. But I must get to France. No matter how long it takes me, I keep taking one step at a time. I keep going one step at a time. One step at a time. One step at a time. And every step you take gets you closer to the destination. And eventually, you get there. And you have to understand spiritual truth in the same light. Every step of faith and hope you take in the Spirit is drawing you closer to the victorious end. That's why you have to hold on to the promises of God and keep holding on to them until they come to pass. So you want to inherit the promises of God. You want to see fulfillment of God's promise. Maybe you are sick. You want to see yourself healed because God promised you healing in the scriptures. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Healing belongs to you. Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. And you want to eat of that bread when you are sick? Well, believe God for that healing. Believe God that the sickness that you have in your body is not your portion, and therefore it cannot remain in your life forever. His days are numbered. Healing is your portion. Health is your portion. And step out on that hope with full assurance, and that faith with full assurance, and keep going until every symptom disappears from your body. How long is it going to take? Forget about the time now. Just say, well, it will happen in due season. Don't set time to it. Don't say, I'm going to believe God for the next 1 week. And then if it doesn't manifest in 1 week's time, then you give up. That's not lasting till the end. Who told you it's going to happen in 1 week? You are the one setting the time for yourself. God didn't say so. God just said, end. When is the end? Forget about the time. God knows the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. You just keep obeying Him. He will get you there. Hallelujah. The hand may take a week, it may take a month, it may take several months, it may even take a few years before the physical manifestation. Jesus promised us that we shall surely recover. Just wait for it. Like he told Habakkuk, just wait for it. Even though it seems to be taking long, it will not tarry. Wait for it. Be patient. You see, in modern day Christianity, we've lost that focus on patience, because things are moving fast in the world in our days. Everybody is always looking for the quick way out, microwave generation, and we have brought that into spiritual things. See, God doesn't change. Things may change in the world, but God never changes. So don't let us bring the mentality of the world into our spiritual relationship with God, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God was using slow cooker yesterday, He's still using it today. He hasn't thrown it away. You know how many of us who were using slow cooker before, we've thrown the thing away. In fact, many people don't even talk about slow cooker anymore. Now it's microwave. Just do it quick. Why waste time? Just do it quick. No, but God is still the same. The same as He was yesterday. That's why we have to understand patience. 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 And then, when you have time, please, or don't let me say when you have time, make time. Make time to study it further than this verse 12, because it goes on to explain how Abraham got the promised child, Isaac. He had to wait patiently for Isaac. We know the story. When he tried to hurry things up, he produced Ishmael, and God rejected Ishmael. So he learned from his mistake and went back to the way of faith and full assurance of hope until the end, and finally got the promised child, Isaac. But Bible says he had to wait patiently for it. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So we need faith and patience. God is not in the quick fix business. God knows what He's doing, and He makes everything beautiful in His own time, not in our own time. We have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to trust Him with all our heart. Not 99% of our heart, but 100% of our heart. Trusting in the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding. Acknowledging that God is faithful who has promised. Just as Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23, we have to hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, because He, God, is faithful who has promised. God is faithful. He never fails to keep His promises. It's not like you and I as men, you know, sometimes you make a promise to somebody and you fail to deliver. And then you make all kinds of excuses. You see, the reason why I couldn't come to your house as I promised was because of the rain. When I made the promise, I didn't know that rain was going to fall, but the rain was too heavy. I just couldn't go out of my house because of the rain. That's a silly excuse. You made that promise. Get out in the rain. Keep your word. Keep your word. Make yourself to be a man of your word. If you make a promise to somebody, make sure you deliver at all costs. So it's better for you not to make the promise to start with than for you to then fail to keep the promise. So if I want to promise you I'll come to your house tomorrow, if I thinking that something may delay me, I won't tell you I will come. I say you may see me tomorrow. So I've given you the option that if the weather is fine, I'll come. But if for any reason it snows heavily or rain comes heavily, don't bother waiting for me. You won't see me. Then I'm a man of my word. So once you wake up and you see snow heavy, you know I'm not coming, so you are not expecting me. Because I've already told you. It's better to tell you that way than for me to say, oh, I'll be at your house tomorrow. And then I don't show up. When next I make a promise, you'll be, maybe it's going to disappoint me just like he did the last time. But God is not like that. When God makes a promise, he will deliver. Hallelujah. That's why we can have full assurance of hope and faith based on the word of God at all times. Now let's look at some examples before we then pray and partake of the elements of communion this morning. Faith and patience will help us to experience fulfillment of God's promises in our lives, whether we need healing, we need favors, we need breakthroughs in any area of life, or we need to be delivered out of our afflictions. As Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivers him out of them all. The same requirement must be in place for us to receive any help or any blessings from God or fulfillment of any scripture that we read in the Bible, any promise that applies to our lives. We have to understand that to get it in manifestation, God requires from us faith and patience. It's no respect of persons. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. So we mustn't become complacent or be slothful, just as we read. You know, many of us are too lazy, spiritually speaking. That's why I said, don't be slothful, don't be lazy, but be one that follows the example of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now we see an example right here in Matthew chapter 9 from verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now pay attention to this. Bible says two blind men followed him. We don't know how long they had to follow Jesus, but they just followed him. We don't know where Jesus was coming from and going to in terms of distance, but these people were determined. They just followed him. Well, we can look at ourselves as Christians and say, well, we are followers of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? We sometimes call ourselves followers of Jesus. Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's good. We need to be followers of Jesus to get help from Jesus. But that's not the only requirement. And that's where many of us as Christians fail. We think that because we are Christians, oh, because I bear a Christian name, because I have a Bible, and because I go to church, I should just get blessed. But it doesn't work that way. And that's why many people backslide, because they never understood the ways of Christ. Ignorance is the greatest problem in the church. God himself said so in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, that my people perish because of lack of knowledge, not because of the devil. The devil takes advantage of my ignorance and your ignorance, because he is a liar and he is a deceiver. How can he deceive me when I know the truth? How can he get me to believe a lie when I know the truth? Jesus says the truth that you and I know is what will make us free. Free from the lies of the devil. So, we need to be followers of Christ to get help from Christ. But that's not the only requirement. They say, my name is John. The same name as the beloved of Jesus Christ. That got revelation on the island of Patmos. Jesus should recognize my name and bless me. Well, you'll be there waiting. You see, the John that Jesus loved had qualities of obeying Christ. Jesus is no respecter of person. You just do what he says and you get blessed. He himself said, why do we call him Lord, Lord, and we don't do the things that he has commanded us? He is the shepherd. We are the sheep. We have to listen to the shepherd. Because if we don't listen to the shepherd, then the shepherd cannot lead us into the green pastures. Because he's saying, follow me. Follow me. This is the way to the green pasture. This is the way to the still waters. Or I say, well, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. And you are expecting to be blessed? No, the shepherd is leading you into blessing, but you are not following him. How can you get the blessing? So we have to understand these things. So they followed him. And not only did they follow him, Bible says there in verse 27, they were crying. In other words, they were appealing to him. It's like saying, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm praying. Well, it's good to follow Jesus, it's good to cry to him for help, it's good to pray. But that's still not the end of it. See the key? Oh, but I prayed. How come I don't have it? Well, already you doubted. There's no full assurance of hope in you. You're already saying, how come you don't have it? You are not going to get it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's not the language of faith. Faith does not ask the question, how come I don't have it yet? That's doubting God. You need to study again your Bible and understand what faith is all about. Go back to Romans chapter 10 from verse 6 to 10 and study again about the way of faith, because Bible says there the righteous kind of faith does not ask the question, who is going to go to heaven to bring Christ down? Who is going to go into the deep to bring him up? Faith does not ask all those silly questions that we ask oftentimes. How come I don't have it yet? I've been fasting and praying now for several months. How come the situation is still the same? How come it's even going from bad to worse? Then that means I don't even have full assurance of faith or hope. That's why I'm doubting. Because if I ever had full assurance of hope or faith, I don't care about the time. I don't care about whether it looks better or not. Because already I'm sure within myself that it's a done deal. It's just a question of time before it shows up. So I don't care about how it looks anymore. You see, that's where we stumble many times. So these blind men follow Jesus. They are crying to him. Oh, Jesus. They even called him by his covenant name, which means they had revelation of who Jesus was. How many people love revelation? Even in the church today, we talk about, oh, I have revelation. Well, if you have revelation, show it. So we see that these blind men did not just have revelation for having sake. They understood the revelation and they knew what it takes to get help from Jesus. So they followed him. They are crying to him. Have mercy on us. Jesus, you son of David, you are the Messiah. You are the one that will open the blind eyes. You are the one that will cleanse the lepers. You are the one that will raise the dead. We read about you in the book. We know who you are. So we have come to you to get help. And he didn't even answer them. He didn't answer them. But they didn't turn back from him. How many Christians backslide because they prayed through the night and they didn't get any help? You say, I had all night prayer. and I still don't have it. I'm not going to get it. And they backslide. But look at this blind man. They even had some disadvantage. They couldn't see. You can imagine how difficult it was for them to be following Jesus, and yet they couldn't see. But they were determined. They just kept following. They just kept following. Have mercy on us, that son of David. He didn't answer them, but they kept following. So you begin to see faith going along with patience. They are patient. Because if they were impatient, they would have turned back. That, look at him. We've been following him. We are even crying to him. He doesn't even mind us. He's not even looking at us. He's not even saying anything to us. And we are crying to him all this while. They were patient. They were patient. You need help from God? You have faith and patience. Not only did they have faith, they had patience. Let's read on. Now look at verse 28. And when he was come into the house, they followed him all the way into the house where he was going. How many of us today, when we have some form of trouble or another in our lives, we stop going to church and we sit at home nursing our wounds, and then some even blame the pastor for not coming to to their home. The pastor's job is not to come to your home. You have to go to the house of God, because the pastor goes to the house of God. Jesus goes to the house of God. Jesus has the habit of going to church, because he said, where two or three are gathered in my, they are mine in the midst of them. So let everybody come to him. The only time you should expect the pastor to come is when you are not able to go to church. Maybe you have a disease that incapacitates you, and then you have to send. Bible even says you have to send. Don't expect the pastor to be the one asking you, do you need me to come to your home? You send somebody to the pastor to say, well, I'm at home, pastor. I would have loved to come to church, but I can't because somehow I'm disabled. Can you please come and pray? Then the pastor will come, and Bible says in James chapter 5, you call for the elders of the church. If you are not able to come to church, then they'll come home and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and then something will happen. But if you can come to church, you sit at home, you expect the pastor to come, you are wasting your time. Even if the pastor comes to your home, God won't answer his prayer, because you are violating God's rules. The pastor has no power to heal you except the one that God supplies to him or through him. And if you have disobeyed God, even the pastor is praying for you, it's not going to work. We have to understand these things and play the game according to the rules, so that we are not disqualified by God himself. God is the umpire. We have to do it according to the rules. So they just kept going, they followed Jesus into the house where he was. And now something begins to happen, because Jesus is now ready for them. They have fulfilled the requirement. They have been following him patiently. They have not turned back. And then he asks them the last question. Do you really believe that I can open your eyes? And look at the answer they gave. So we see that these people have been following Jesus in faith all along. They didn't even scratch their head and say, wait a minute, what was the question? Do we believe? Do I really believe? No, they answered immediately. Because all along, they've been following him with full assurance of faith and hope. They said, yes! Yes, Lord! We believe! We believe with all our heart. And look at Jesus' answer also in response to them. Again, look at verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe it that I am able to do this. They said unto him, yeah, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Hallelujah. And they got their sight back. Now let's turn, while we are still in that same book of Matthew, turn forward a few pages to chapter 15. Faith and patience. So we see those two blind men fulfilling the requirement to receive the promise of God in their life. Because God promised that the blinds will see. Isn't that so? But they had to go by faith and by patience to get it from Jesus. And we see another example here with this Gentile woman. See, God is no respecter of persons. If you come to him and you give him what he demands, faith and patience, he will bless you. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. Chapter 15, I'll begin to read from verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Again, this was a Gentile woman, but she had revelation of who Jesus was. And yet many of the Pharisees did not even have the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah. They just called him carpenter's son. And they were offended at him. But a Gentile woman had revelation that this is the Messiah. And because he's the Messiah, there is hope of healing for my daughter. What no man can do, the Messiah can do. So, this is the only hope I have. I'm going to go after the Messiah and get from him what no man can give to my daughter. Jews or no Jew, Gentile or no Gentile, I know that the Bible says, this is me paraphrasing now, it wasn't called Bible then, but the woman must have heard and read from the book of David that actually said when Jesus will come, the Messiah, it will also be an ensign unto the Gentiles. That same Messiah will reach out to the Gentiles. That's why the woman had faith that this Messiah is not coming for the Jews only. According to the prophecy of God, he will also benefit the Gentiles. So she cried unto him, just like the two blind men did. But again, she had to show faith and patience. Let's read on. Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. Jesus didn't even answer her at all. How many of us today would take that from any pastor? In fact, if somebody comes to church and is talking to the pastor and the pastor doesn't answer, they won't come back to church. And they will go everywhere and spoil that pastor and say the pastor. Yeah, they scandalize him. See, I was even talking to him, he just ignored me. And he says he's a man of God. Forget him. That one can never be a man of God. You see, when you really have a desire to get something from God, you don't allow any obstacle to stand in your way. No obstacle. No obstacle. You are determined. You are like the paralyzed man and his friends. They couldn't come in through the door. They couldn't come in through the window, but they are not going back home. They are determined. Today, our friend must get healed. So we are not taking him back the way we brought him. And because of their determination, the Holy Spirit gave them wisdom. Well, if you can't come through the door or through the window, there's a way through the roof. I will show you how to do it. And I will guide you to even get the right one. How come they removed the correct tiling that was right in front of Jesus? Because the Bible says they lowered their friend right in front of Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit will help you when you have the heart of faith. He will guide you. And so we all know the account very well. Jesus didn't answer the woman anything, but the woman kept following. She's not going to go back or get angry or feel insulted by Jesus' ignoring her. So she just kept following. Verse 24 again, but he verse 23, but he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. They are even telling Jesus, this woman, she's just making too much noise. You are not even answering her, and she hasn't stopped crying. Just send her away. Tell her to stop making noise. You are not for people like this. She's even a Gentile for that matter. Just tell her, get back from me, you unclean thing. But look at the woman. She didn't mind any of them. She just kept crying to Jesus. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to turn back. Now, finally, because of her determination, look at what Jesus then did. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him. I love this. Saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. In other words, woman, what you are asking for is covenant bread. It belongs to the people of God. But the woman understood scripture. Well, I know. I'm not asking for the bread because the bread belongs to the children. But the crumbs is for the Gentiles, and it is enough. Just let the crumbs fall to me. It's more than enough to meet my need. Jesus said, hey, woman, great is your faith. The woman passed the test. Showed Jesus that she had the faith and the patience to receive help from God. And she got it. Oh, hallelujah. She got it. So, and he said, throat, Lord, yet the dogs, verse 27, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Isn't that wonderful? The woman came with full assurance of hope and faith. That was why nothing could turn her back. Because I'm sure the devil was speaking to her mind when Jesus did not answer her, telling her, you are wasting your time. Better go back home. You see, don't let us just read this thing on the surface. You and I go through it all the day. We go through it every time. The devil will begin to whisper, well, you have been praying now for how long? Can't you see it's not working? He said, you are believing God for miracle. Look at you. Which miracle? You're wasting your time. You can't get anything. That's the devil for you. So the devil must have been telling the woman, you see, you're making a fool of yourself, making too much noise. The person you are crying to is not even answering you. Look at even people are telling you that he should send you away. Why are you making a fool of yourself? Why don't you just go home? But the woman was determined. No pride. She was quite humble. Pride will always deny us. Because God receives the proud, gives grace to the humble. Even when Jesus said to her, well, it is not proper for me to take what belongs to the children and to give to dogs. Ah! Some of us say, yay! He called me dog. Come and hear everybody. And this one says it's from God. He's calling me dog. The dog, you're me dog. I never followed this one. It's fake. That's how many of us love me. But humility. So call me what you like. Today is my day. Nothing can stop me from getting it. I know. I have full assurance of understanding that the Messiah must cater also for the Gentiles. So nothing will deny me. See, when you have full assurance of hope or faith in God, the devil can't stop you. No matter how long it's taking, you will not turn back until you get it. Hallelujah. And so the woman passed the test. Faith and patience inherit the promises. So what do you need this morning? What do you need from God? What help do you require from God? Well, God has it for you. All it needs is for you to offer to Him faith and patience. We can look at several other examples, but time will not permit us today. But I'll mention one that we all know again, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, the same thing. When he heard the noise and commotion around him, he asked question. Said, who is that? What's going on? And then someone told him, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Passed by. Jesus of Nazareth, that's the Messiah. Hey, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus didn't answer him. The people told him, keep quiet. You are making too much noise. Bible says he shouted them all. Hey, Jesus! In other words, don't pass me by. You are the one that can open my eyes. And the same people that told him to keep quiet, Jesus told to go and bring him. The same disciples. See, even the disciples of Jesus didn't understand many things. Until after Pentecost. So Jesus said, go and bring him. So they went and bring him. And then Jesus asked him the question, what do you want me to do for you? Now, what do you want him to do for you this morning? I want you to talk to him one-on-one. Nobody else needs to know what you need from Jesus. It's between you and your shepherd this morning. But visualize him with the eyes of your spirit, asking you the question, what do you want me to do for you? Just as he has blind Bartimaeus. And go on and tell him. Tell him, this is what I want you to help me with, Lord Jesus. And I have the faith to receive it from you, and I'm going to be patient to receive it from you, no matter how long. I know you will not fail me, Jesus. I know that all the promises of God in you, they are yea and amen. Never nay. Bible says, in other words, there's no when it comes to the promises of God in Christ. They are yea and amen to the glory of the Father. So go ahead and talk to him. You see, this is how to walk with Christ. He's your shepherd. Talk to him. Hold that faith conversation with him, because he can hear the voice of faith in you. Your conversation with him may not even last more than 1 minute. But then it's a done deal because of the full assurance of hope and faith in you. Whereas someone else may go to all night prayer and still not get anything from God, because they don't have the faith. They don't have the hope. And the devil just robs them quickly and gets them to doubt. But when you have the full assurance of faith, you'll be able to talk to Jesus and thank him and say, I know that I have it in your name, because you are the faithful one. And I'll wait for it patiently. I'll wait for it, because I know you will not fail me. You have promised never to leave me, never to forsake me, and never to fail me. And so I trust in you with all of my heart. And I thank you that I receive from you the blessing that I need. So go ahead and talk to him along those lines. That's all. Just talk to him. He can hear your voice, just as you and I should recognize his voice too. He said in John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice. The voice of the stranger, they will not obey. So we have to recognize the voice of his word and talk to him accordingly and hear his voice back and thank him that we receive his word, because he is the fulfillment of the word of God. No promise in God's word will ever fail in the name of Jesus Christ. Our faith in that name guarantees that we get the promise done if we wait patiently for it. So go ahead and thank him that you receive the help from him. Whatsoever you desire this morning, spiritual, emotional, physical, family, relational, on your job, in your business, in your career, in any area of life, Jesus came to make us whole. He came to give us everything we need in all areas of life if we have faith and patience to receive from him. So go ahead and thank him. Thank him that you believe with all your heart that he heard your cry for help. And he has sent the help to you in the spirit. And you are going to wait for it to be made manifest in the physical. And how do you wait? By simply keeping that faith going with thanksgiving. Once you have prayed for something, keep standing on the promise of God that guarantees that thing in your life. And keep thanking God every day until it manifests. Let me give you an illustration. Maybe you pray for healing. You stand upon the word of God, according to Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 and 5. That surely you believe with all your heart that Jesus was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon him. And with his stripes you are healed. And then you thank him. Lord Jesus, I thank you that I believe you took my sickness from me on the cross of Calvary. And now I receive healing by your stripes in Jesus' name. Well, after the prayer, you still feel the pain. Forget about the feeling now. You begin to thank him. I walk by faith and not by sight. I thank you, Lord Jesus. By your stripes, I'm healed already. I'm just waiting for the physical manifestation. So tomorrow you wake up in the morning, the pain is still there. You go back again and say, Lord, I thank you that by your stripes, I'm healed. Therefore, the days of this pain are numbered. I'm going to wake up in due season and find that the pain is gone forever in Jesus' name. You wake up next week, do the same thing. Keep doing that every day. You see, every time you thank God, you are watering the seed of faith. The farmer understands that after planting, you must water the seed to get it to germinate and bring the harvest in due season. You water your faith with thanksgiving. If you really believe, you keep thanking God. You prayed, keep thanking him until you get the answer. Hallelujah.